the word on Thursday night was that the market for Byram had been a little bit softer than they liked. Now, I don't think it's because Byram is a bad player or anything like that. I just heard they weren't getting the kinds of offers that they want. Now, maybe that'll change on Friday. Like, all it takes is one phone call to change things. What someone said to me is all of a sudden, you know, you look at that Buffalo defense, you got Dalene Byram, you got Power Kesselring, you got Samuelson, Bernard Docker. That could be, in theory, a real strength of their team. And again, the Sabres might not feel the same way, but this was an executive on another team. He was looking at it and saying, like, that's not a bad defense. If Buffalo isn't crazy about the offers for Byram, maybe you start the season with them. Could do a lot worse than what you got there.
That is Elliot Friedman early this morning on his podcast, 32 Thoughts. I will say, I would assume they're not getting the offers that they necessarily want because he hasn't been traded yet. But anyways, he says the market's a little softer than maybe some would think. But Darren Dreger did list 8 teams that have been in on him. So anyways, that's the next thing on the docket is Byram and also the draft tonight. Paul Hamilton joins now on the Wester Hotline. Good morning, Paul.
Good morning. How are you?
I'm good. I actually want to start before we get to the draft or we get to the Sabres. This Josh is heading the update. The CBA being extended, Paul, and going to an 84-game season. They used to have 84 games, right? Early 90s. But I guess why they've really felt the need to add 2 more games, and we also, I wonder if we'll even really notice because it's such a small difference compared to 82.
Well, it's all money. I mean, you get 2 more games of revenue out of it. But for me, I mean, I know Brian Koziel and I have had this conversation probably for longer than 10 years. The season should be shortened if you want better hockey. I mean, you should take 10 games off instead of, you know, always having, it seems like you always have a team playing 3 and 4 or, you know, back to back or, you know, just a bunch of games and just trying to get through it type of a thing. It's like, well, we really can't play the game we want to play. We're going to have to play a different game here because we know we're dead tired and, we're just going to have to see if we can get through it and get a couple of points or a point out of it and steal a point or have a goaltender stand on his head. Or, you know, every time there's a break, like an Olympic break, and you come back for probably the first 3 or 4 days, you see fantastic hockey. It's just great because all the teams are rested. They're ready to go. Sometimes it's a little bit of sloppy hockey because they haven't played in a bit, but that's okay. And you know, but it's fast hockey, and it's just enjoy watching it throughout the league, and you know, it's because you don't have teams dragging, but they're never going to do that because it's going to take money out of the owners' pockets.
Yeah, it also could lead to, I saw this being written about yesterday, could lead to the season, like the way they might do it is the season would start earlier, maybe even into like late September. And, man, like, think about how, not that the team in the finals will be complaining, but how long a team could be playing. I mean, you could be playing from, like, the end of September into the end of June. I mean, the length in which the season goes over the course of the calendar would be, I think, it already feels like it's long enough on that front.
Well, it's just replacing 2 regular season games, or 2 preseason games with 2 regular season games.
Right. Because they'd be shortening the preseason in addition.
Right, which is, you know, what it winds up with. That's where you would be if you're going to back up a little bit and take 2 preseason games off the docket. So, because that last preseason game is almost never including NHL players. It's all, I mean, that last preseason game is almost always the Rochester Americans.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you know, teams not using their NHL players, so you know, it's one of those games anyway where it's just a throwaway anyway. I mean, it's not, very few coaches are playing players that are fighting for jobs or anything like that. That's usually already been taken care of by the last preseason game.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Western Hotline. So, Paul, speaking yesterday to Michael Kesselring and Josh Doan, they did Zoom calls with the media. What did you learn talking to them for the first time?
Well, they, you know, it's a new beginning. I mean, Kesselring enjoyed the first year of being in Utah, and is going to leave a lot of different friends that he had, but. You know, he's excited for the role that he's going to get in Buffalo. It's a, you know, an elevated role and something that he's looking forward to. And, you know, he had an opportunity to try it out last year because Utah had some injuries. So he got to play top 4 minutes for quite a long period of time last year because of a couple injuries that Utah had. And he did very well with it. His numbers were excellent with it and showed that. Plus, you know, I remember watching the World Championships and, you know, thinking to myself, he's a pretty good hockey player. I mean, he had a lot of responsibility for Team USA at the World Championships when they won the gold medal. And I remember thinking, you know, here's a guy that stuck out. And I think that's part of the problem here as far as, you know, many folks thinking, well, you didn't get enough for this. And I think a lot of it is, who's Michael Kesselring? Is what, you know, people are saying, or they don't know really what the Sabres got out of it. And so I understand that thought. Or even Josh Doan, they may have heard of Josh Doan because of his father, mm-hmm. but they may not know, you know, what type of player he is and, you know, what he brings to the table. So, you know, I think that's part of it, you know, where people are saying the Sabres didn't do well in the return just because they got a couple of players where people are like, well, who's that?
Right, and it is betting on them to be able to continue what they've done playing in elevated roles for a whole season, right, Paul? Because if you look at, like, for the whole season, I think Kesselring was sixth on their defense in average ice time, and then Doan was 11th amongst their forwards. You make the right point about Kesselring, though. I was looking at this yesterday. I think it was the first 50 games he played more than 20 minutes a night, like 20 times, and he didn't do it from there on because they were healthy. At the end, and he had good numbers at the start of the year. So, and here, I mean, you wouldn't believe at all, right, Paul, that he's not going to play at least, what, 19 minutes a night, if not 20, for this team?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I would be surprised if he doesn't start with Owen Power. And, I mean, he had a heck of a game against the Buffalo Sabres last year. I mean, he had the Gordie Howe hat trick in one period. I mean, he fought Beck Malenstein early in the period, scored a goal. He has a bullet shot. His shot is, well, he and Thompson went back and forth with the hardest shot last year. And then he undressed J.J. Paterka. It's kind of weird that it was and had a fantastic assist to Schmaltz right at the end of the period. So he had a goal, an assist, and a fight in one period against Buffalo. And before the year before that, he scored his first NHL goal here in Buffalo against his former teammate at Northeastern, Devin Levi. So he's had some good success in this building.
What about Doan? He's the second piece of that trade for most, looking at like how much they should be valued. He was a fourth liner a lot last year, sometimes third line. He actually got even on the power play. He had 3 power play goals last year. Do you see him as, this is a bottom six guy for a long time that's a tough dude and is going to defend well, or do you think there could be more there? I mean, he's only played 62 NHL games, but like last year in the AHL, he's almost a point per game player. He was a second round pick. So do you see him as maybe having more in there than what we've seen offensively?
Well, he's got a heck of a shot. I was listening to the beginning of Ray Ferraro and Darren Dreger's podcast, and that trade was the first thing they talked about. And, you know, Ferraro saw Doan quite a bit last year in the games that he did and talked about how he goes, it's a young player, and he said you could see the growth in him, and he said you could see him, he goes, what many rookies do. They're just trying to find their way through the NHL, and it's their first year in the NHL, and they're just trying to find their way, and he goes, he saw that in Doan, and he thinks there's a good upside to him where, you know, you may see some better point production out of him than you saw in his rookie year with that shot. He said here was a guy that, as he was getting more used to it, was very good on the forecheck, would get in there and, you know, start causing havoc and just being a problem for other teams to be able to handle. But he saw an upside that could be there too. Now, I don't know if you're talking an upside. You know, I don't think you're talking an upside like a first line winger or a top. I should rather say top line winger. But you know, certainly a guy that you know, could, as he put it, could be a good NHL player for years to come.
Just looking at the roster right now, part of the reason I asked that is they have a lot of guys at forward right now. If you were to look at like just the list of their forwards and who kind of gets thought of as a bottom six guy, McLeod, Greenway, Zucker, add Doan into the mix, Krebs, Malenstein, Lafferty is still under contract. We've talked about Zach Benson and how that probably is where he should be to start next year until he proves it. Maybe you think Quinn is that. Paul, they're either going to move another name or two out, or maybe I'm putting somebody into this lineup that shouldn't be, or they are seeing Benson or Zucker or Quinn maybe as somebody that they think will play in an elevated role this season?
Yeah, I mean, once I took Paterka out of the lineup, quite honestly, Quinn was the guy I wound up throwing into the top six. Now, that's without making a trade or, I mean, I would doubt that the forward group as we see it right now is what it's going to be. You know, I still like the line of McLeod, Zucker, and Greenway together. I think that's a very solid line that you can get out of there. And I had Krebs with Malenstein and Doan. Right now, I probably wouldn't have Lafferty in the lineup. If he winds up in Rochester, that's whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I don't think it's the end of the world. So Lafferty right now would be the extra guy. And Benson would still be up there. I mean, in my mind, they have an opening for two top six forwards. Are they going to be able to accomplish that? Well, only time will tell. But, you know, so, and then if that happens, maybe Quinn's not in your lineup. Maybe he's sitting out in the beginning and is going to have to earn his way back into the lineup, you know, with the way he played last year.
Do you feel like, too, whoever they add at forward, there will be a mind paid to that player's ability on the power play? Because they've really struggled on that unit for 2 years. And Paterka, listen, for all the goals he scored, a lot of them were not on the power play. Like, if you look at the list of guys that have scored as many even strength goals as he has, he's got, like, the fewest of that list on the man advantage. So, not to say, like, that would be the sole reason they would add for that, but it has been 2 years since they have really been an efficient unit, and I wonder if whoever they add there, that's something that'll be in the back of their minds.
Well, if you're adding a guy that is a top six forward and maybe a veteran, you're probably you would assume that he's a power play guy. So I think that's where your power play. Plus Norris, you know, starts healthy. He really hasn't been on the Sabre power play except for a game. And that, right. I think that was it. So that's a new person on the power play. Kulik is a year older, you know, and is, I would expect, is going to be a power play player in his career. So, you know, for guys that are already on the team. But I'm not sure guys were talking about the power play or even on the team yet that can maybe help their power play.
Paul Hamilton with us on the Wester Hotline. Okay, Paul, so the draft tonight, 9 overall. Adams has spoke pretty openly about, you know, being willing to trade the pick. What are the odds you think they actually do trade the pick? Because
I'm not going
to odd. Not to ask like specific odds. But
I would have told you it was better than 50-50 last year, and nobody traded their pick.
That's why I was going to ask, because as much as we might talk about it, it is like I saw a list of top 10 picks that have been traded, and it just doesn't really happen that much in the NHL.
No, it doesn't. And when you think there's going to be a bunch of trades is when they happen, and when you don't think there are is when they do happen. It's just the way it goes. It's impossible to know what would let everything start happening or why it doesn't happen. It's just I think general managers, they just get a little squirrely. It's like, oh, I don't want to trade the pick and then have it come back to haunt me or things like that. So, you know, they wind up making the pick. I mean, if you look at what Buffalo might be able to get out of that pick, I mean, you know, you certainly they're not going to get the best defenseman unless they move up, and which isn't done that often either, and Matthew Schaefer, but who probably goes first overall. But, I mean, they could get possibly the second defenseman overall. I mean, there's a bunch of guys, you know, we've talked about Mertka, Atchison. There's Jackson Smith, who is also in there, played at Tri-City last year, some defensemen that they, you know, definitely could use. So all or none of those three could be there, you know, at nine when we're talking. You know, I could really see if the Sabres do make the pick, them being able to get a defenseman and maybe the second best defenseman in the draft.
Do you know how it's going to work tonight? Like, is Bettman going to make all the picks because they're live there, but the GMs are remote? Will the GMs do it? Do you have any clue?
They probably do it the same way they did. They always do, where you know Bettman announces it. Well, you know, brings a team this in to say who they want as their pick.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, now the NFL, the commissioner announces it, but in
right.
the NHL, they always brought the teams up on stage and the teams. I mean, Celine Dion announced the Montreal Canadiens pick last year because it was in Vegas, which was kind of cool. You know, it'll be interesting to see now. You know, going. I'm trying to think what happened during COVID when
the whole draft was remote. I think Adams announced them picking Owen Power from like the club level, if I remember right. They had something set up.
You're right. That's exactly what they did.
Yeah. Yep. So maybe they'll just do that again. Where like Bettman will tee it up. I guess I don't know.
Yeah. You know,
it's interesting.
Those kind of logistics, I don't pay that much attention to. So
until it's rolling.
Now that you brought it up, it's the first time I've thought about it. So I'm kind of spitballing and guessing as we go along.
Yeah,
here.
One way or another, we'll find out who they draft in the moment. Paul Hamilton on the Western Hotline. Thanks, Paul, and enjoy the draft. 7 o'clock tonight for coverage, and we'll be listening.
Yeah, Brayton and Brian Kozia will get us started. I'll be down at I keep wanting to say the arena. I will be down at the stadium.
Mm-hmm.
There used to be an arena down there for the first outdoor game, but there won't be tonight.
Thanks, Paul.
Yep.
Paul Hamilton with us as the draft gets rolling tonight at 7 o'clock. We have another good clip on Bo Byram and kind of the Sabres' place in all of this offseason from Elliot Friedman. He talked a lot, I guess, on his podcast early this morning about the Sabres this offseason. And if you got reaction to what we just had to say with Paul, the Paterka trade, how many moves away the Sabres are, tonight and the next few days as we heading to free agency is going to shape this team. As they already have started that with the Paterka trade. 803-0550. Also, I want to get to the NFL collusion case that has been talked about and reported on. It's not being mentioned, though, on the big networks, which I also think is interesting. Florio and Pablo Torre got a court document that kind of proves that the NFL is willing to... I guess it has to be. I think the word has to be collude. So I want to get to that as well coming up here on WGR.